Thank God. Amen. Amen. Listen, let's go before the throne. We got to get right into God's word. I'm going to ask you something before I start here on today. Amen. Many of you, I sit and listen to you, don't I? Sometimes a lot. Sometimes I sit and can't get a word in edgewise. Just talk and talk and talk and talk. Amen. I'm going to ask you one thing today. Everyone stop and listen to me today. Amen. If you got to pour cold water on yourself so that you don't go to sleep, if you got to pluck hairs out of your arms. Amen. Do anything you have, because how many know what we're hearing is necessary and what we're hearing guiding us toward eternal life. Amen. And so, amen. I want to, as I go into God's word, I want us to focus and to be focused. Amen. Without minimal distractions. Amen. So, if you grew in the Archie household, you knew before the word came, you went to the bathroom. So you didn't have an emergency when the word was going for. Amen. And so we want you to sit and amen and ask God to open our ears, our hearts as we speak today. Because, amen, sometimes we're going to do a little bit of deep diving here today. And I want us to really be focused so we can absorb what is being said today. Amen. Amen. And like I said, I am a patient listener. Amen. And I want you to extend the same courtesy to me today. Amen. 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 Let's look toward heaven on today. Father, we're so grateful for you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you most of all for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what we've experienced thus far. God, even the prayer of healing, God, we look, God, for answers, and we look for complete answers. We know you're in charge of everything, Lord, and ultimately all power belongs to you. And that's where we want to put our focus, Lord, that you be honored, that you be glorified. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about our experience. It's not about a commercial for us, God, but it's about you, God. And we want to make sure you get the glory in every circumstance, in every situation, God, that your name be magnified, God. And now as we go into your word and we endeavor to go in your word, guide us and lead us. Teach us, Lord, how to live godly in this present life, how to walk humbly before you. God, that we may be those vessels of honor to you, God. Thank God. Thank you for our bishop today. Thank you for the strength that you have allowed him, Lord, the healing portion that you've given him, God. Thank you, Lord, for being that mind regulator. Thank you, Lord, for being, Lord, over that counselor and that guide, Lord, in our lives now. Now as we go in your word again, let your anointing go out and your word go out with power. This may draw strength and give strength to each and every hearer here on today, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may have your seat on today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I thank God again for everybody that's here. I'm so glad. You know, I often look back and I think how wonderful it would be if we look around and I saw all the saints here all together at one time. How many know God loves unity? Amen. And certainly, amen. What a blessing that would be. You know, how many know when we get to heaven, it's going to be unity and it's going to be, amen. Everything's going to flow smoothly and everything's going to be unified. Amen. No disjointedness, no disconnection. And certainly, amen. I look forward to that day in this ministry where God begins to touch our lives, where we lay aside every weight, every sin, every excuse that would come to hinder our walk with him. Amen. Amen. I want us to turn to Psalms 24. How many enjoyed Pastor Fluker on Friday night? Amen. What a blessing he was to us in the word. Amen. I thank God. And you hear our bishop say it. Thank God for all our pastors and all our men of God. And I pity people that think you can only, and I'm going to say this, and he's sitting right here. I pity people that think you can only receive from bishop. That's sometimes right. When he's talking, you're the loudest amen in the building. And when he ain't talking, you can't even hear your voice. I'm straight that away. That's called respect of persons. And how many know what the Bible calls that? Sin. Amen. To have. And how many know God is not a respecter of persons? And so when all God's men get up, I have a willingness to hear anything that the Lord has. If he sends a child up here, I have a willingness to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so we want to reverence God's word and reverence him with that respect. We don't want to sit, chew gum, check our phones. We don't want to sit and idly let our minds float. But as we want our intentions and our mind to be set to hear everything that God has for us in this place. I mean, oh, every word of God is pure. That's everything that he says. That's everything that he says. And so, amen. So we want your minds to be open to the will and the way of God. Amen. So don't get comfortable. Amen. And there's a line in the movie, the road may be get rocky. Get ready for a bumpy ride. Amen. Because we're gonna travel in some areas of scripture here today, but amen. There's a word that kept going forth today. Sister Jeanette used it. Our bishop used it. It's a word, character. How many know what character is? You know, I used to teach my son character was, and character goes right along with integrity. I used to teach him when he was young, and he could probably recite it to this day. I repeated it so much to him. Character and integrity are who you are when nobody's looking. Because, you know, we can come to church all the time, can't we? And literally, they can come and have the Academy Awards at church because we can say, and the most distinguished actor goes to, because we learn and we train ourselves and we focus in on the ideal and the identity of how to act in church and how to carry on in church. But our character matters in Christ. Our character and who we are and what we are. And thank God for all the shouting and the jumping and the prayer and everything else. But how many know it's the word that makes us clean? It's the word that makes us clean. And sometimes we get to so many parts of the service, and when it comes to the word, we cut off the radio. We change stations. But how many know in the end, it's the word of God that you got to hear. That's the thing. That's what's going to be able to set you free. Amen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall, what? Make you free. Amen. Amen. Psalms 24. And I'm going to read two verses there. One of my top five favorite verses in all of the Bible. I quote this to myself all the time. Verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Somebody look at somebody and say, clean. Some of us, we came here dressed up today, didn't we? We came and we got on our Sunday best. We get ourselves together and no doubt many of us took a bath, or we bathed, if not this morning, last night. And we come and we sit and we go through the acumen of being in the house of God. But you want to know the true person and what you are about. How many, and I know we got some homeowners here and so forth, and home is our comfortable spot, isn't it? Home is the place that we relax. Home is the place that we kick back and enjoy. And despite how we may look here, and we certainly try to keep the house of God nice, but despite how we may look here, sometimes we go home and we get that knock on the door, that unexpected company. And if you're like sometimes like the average homekeeper, you got stuff thrown all over the house, and you try to fix it up and clean up the inside of your house before someone's invited in to see. You're throwing things in closets. Everyone has it in their house. You have that room, that one room that nobody looks in, that you close that door, that when people come and company come, you just take everything and just throw it in that room. And you pray to God that they don't ask to see the whole house. You know, there's something about being saved, and there's something I believe about being saved. But see, I've been in the church a long time, so I understand how the church interacts with one another. I understand. And there is something that we're going to see in the character of Scripture that God presents to us. And it really keyed off of something that Pastor Fluker said on Friday night. And I looked and I went, huh, never saw that before. Wow. How many know that God wants us clean on the outside, but First and foremost, he wants us clean on the inside.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
We can hide a lot, can't we? With a smile. We can hide a lot with even feigned obedience.
Yeah, that's right.
We can hide a lot with our religious activities and carrying on. We can hide behind all of that facade and sometimes still be messed up on the inside. And never really concerned about doing. And really we hear it often, I wonder how often we listen to it, that Jesus is coming.
Yes, Lord.
He's coming soon. Brother Rick showed me something last night. These people, was it Rio de Janeiro? Brazil, somewhere. And they were making mockery of God. They actually had a Jesus, if you will, laying on the ground, and they showed Satan stamping on him and triumphing over him, and they were dragging Jesus through this mall or this shopping area. How many know God can't be mocked? And he will not be mocked. The very next day, those same people were crying. Because that same area was flooded out.
Yes.
I mean, water was rushing like a high current.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that from the pastoral side, I always have in my mind and my heart is that as a pastor, you get to know the sheep.
Yes.
That's my job, is to know the sheep. You know, and I talked to a farmer one time, and on my way, the highway, I go fishing, I saw it. A sheep farm. And those sheep from far distance, they will look white, just like the commercials say. But he said his job was to deal with the part that the public didn't see. Because he said underneath that wool, underneath all of that fur was parasites and infestation. And he had to go in thoroughly and to pull all of that out and to manage that and to get rid of all of that in order to keep the sheep healthy. And so a lot of time, how many know it isn't our outward things that matter to God? Because the Bible tells us God looks at the what? He looks at the inner man. He looks at the heart. In fact, didn't he tell Samuel that? He says, when he was choosing David, he says, don't look at the outward appearance, because God doesn't look at that. God looks at the heart. Sometimes we concentrate on dressing up. Sometimes we concentrate on looking important. Sometimes we concentrate on who we are and what all we've done and our accomplishments and us. And somehow we magnify and we push God right out the picture. Because how many know you're sitting where you're sitting, and you're in the mind state that you're in because of the glory of God and the mercy of God resting on your life. I refuse to take credit for what God has done. I refuse to let pride creep in. I have to look back and say, that's what God did for me. Going back and look at this, I'm going to read verse 4 again, and I'm going to give us something that I've seen in the past, but I want us to go, because I want us to get to where Pastor Pluker left us on Friday night. It says this, it says, he that hath clean hands, and then we're talking about who shall ascend into, stand in his holy place. Clean hands. I mean, your hands are your outward activity. They're manifested your outward activity. And a pure heart, how many know that's inside? And he that hath lifted up his soul, how many know soul is your inner man? Unto vanity or nothingness. And that, again, is an inward side. That's what's going on in the inside. Nor sworn deceitfully. And how many know when we swore something, we're speaking outwardly? So God is just not interested in our outside. He's also interested in our inside. Now I want us to turn to John the 13th chapter, because Pastor Pluker, oh man, he just ignited something that Friday night in me that I read, and I went, oh Lord, and I went home almost right away, and I began to jot myself down some notes and said, my goodness. What a message. And all these years, so many times we get so used to the forest that we forget and we miss out on the trees. And I want us to slow down and read this on today. because it has a message in there for us. And I'm going to tell you the question that arose in my mind when I began to read this. John chapter 13, and let's look at verse 8. It says, Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And if you're here Friday night, you understand Jesus is actually giving them a foot washing. He's doing the job. And if, in case you didn't know, that was the job of the lowest servants in the house. And furthermore, let alone Jesus washing their feet, to the average Jewish mind, they didn't wash an equal's feet. So Jesus was really giving them a strong lesson here. So this is why Peter's protest is so strong. Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus answered him. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, or you won't have any portion with me of what I have to give you in the future. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, in verse 10 is where we're focusing, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. Now here's my question that came when I read that as he was ministering to us on Friday night. I said, what do you mean they all aren't clean? And I want us to think about this scene and reflect the scene in our mind and think about what's happening here again. Jesus is trying to give them a lesson, but at the same time, let's understand something. We make it clear all the time during when we look at the setting that Judas was there. Judas Iscariot. Yeah. Judas, the one that was going to betray Jesus, the one that he understood. And Jesus washed his feet in as much love as he did the rest of the disciples. He gave them that example. He gave them an example to follow to show them how to love. But when he begins to talk to them, and there's something I want us to, before we jump there, let me continue on. Because one of the things that when we begin to talk, and he said, and I want us to know something. There was a washing that take place, and there's two words that brother Pastor Fluker brought to us on Friday night, and he didn't really go into it, but there's two words for washing. There's one called nipto, and there's one called luo. And so luo is a word that describes ceremonial ritual cleansing. And what Jesus was doing was not ceremonial ritual cleansing. He was just doing regular washing. And so when Peter begins to talk, and stick with me here, just y'all see why I said y'all needed y'all full attention, because some of y'all getting lost in the weeds already, right? Yeah. But pay a close attention, because I want us to hear something, a lesson and a principle that I saw in this that Jesus was trying to teach us in about being clean. Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet. He didn't miss one. But then he announces at the end, all of them weren't clean. So what was he talking about? He washed the outside. They looked good on the outside. They honored him on the outside. But how many know the Lord knows your heart? Let's understand something. He knows your heart.
Yes, he does.
He knows what's going on the inside. No matter how good you look on the outside, and no matter how many clean up. Again, sometimes we get caught in the ritual, and I mean, the Pharisees definitely had that down. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, he tells them what? You clean up the outside, all right. You look pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, dead men bones. On the inside, there's something entirely different going on. You know, I was saying earlier, as a pastor, you begin to know the sheep. And how many know you can't party on Saturday night and come to church Sunday morning and give God glory?
That's right.
You can't live any other kind of life.
That's right.
And we're going to take some work because there's a message I preached before, and I definitely want to read those verses so that we understand. But we had to stop by here and visit Jesus in this conversation because Jesus touched every one of them. He touched every one of them. But just because you get a touch doesn't mean you're clean. Just because you get a touch, you got to make a choice at some point to change your mind and to change your heart. David put it this way in one of the most beautiful psalms ever written, repentance psalms, Psalm 51. He said, wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me inside and out. Unless we fell and recognized him, he wasn't talking about give me a bath. He was talking about, I need something done on the inside, Lord. I don't want you to renovate my heart. I don't want you to come and clean out a few things. But God, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I recognize I wouldn't have found myself with Bathsheba. I wouldn't have messed up on the inside if there wasn't something wrong on the inside first. I wouldn't have messed up on the outside. How many know the words that you speak that injure and the words that you speak that say damnable things to other folks and to toward God, those words that you speak, how many know they initiate first on the inside because they were in your heart all along? Again, you can be touched. And when I read that Friday night passage, I said, you can be touched by Jesus and still not be clean. He experienced the same love that the rest of the disciples experienced. Don't you? You can't tell me for 1 minute that he didn't love, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, he didn't love Judas any less. There's no way you can tell me that. He loved him with the same love that he loved each other. But despite his love, despite any ritual that he went through him, the ritual was not going to change him. He still needed a change of heart on the inside. Yes, Lord. Many times we base our relationship on us, how we come to church or who we are in the church or what our title is in the church or how long we've been in the church. And sometimes that becomes a danger zone for some of us. I want us to turn to Proverbs 11th chapter. And this is a message we preached before, but I want to visit this again because it's very critical that we do. Especially for today. Proverbs the 11th. Chapter. And we're going to look at verse 1. Verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 16th chapter. In verse 11, and it reads, a just weight and a balance are the Lord's, and all the weights of the bag are his work. Now, you may not know where I'm going, but we're gonna bring this together here in a minute. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 10 reads, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. And finally, verse 23, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. What is all this stuff about weights? What is this trying to tell us? If you're alive in Bible's days, everything was done on a scale. It wasn't like you handed out a dollar and you handed out $5, and we understood that monetary exchange. A lot of times things were weighed out. Things were balanced out. And if someone wanted to cheat the system, if you will, they would adjust the scale so they can cheat others out of their money. I'm going to take you down a path here because remember, we're still talking about the inside. We're talking about what's going on the inside. And I want to stop by and visit this word here, abomination. This word here, abomination, is a word called tovah. And this word tovah is the exact same word that used when God says, when a man lieth with another man as he is a woman, it is an abomination. It is tovah. So when God says something is an abomination, how many know we ought to pay attention? And steer clear of that. Because tovah means it's detestable, it's disgusting, it's an abhorrence to God. It's something that God detests. Now, was there something wrong with the scales at all? Was there something wrong with the weights? No. What is the lesson that he was trying to teach them? If you have something going on in your character, if you have something that allows yourself to misrepresent yourself, something that allows yourself, you're so messed up. Because, again, the weights were something that the dishonest person was manipulating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't the weights themselves. It was the person and what they did with the weights. How many know when God blesses you with gifts, when God blesses you with a job, when God blesses you with all these things, how many know God expects you to be good stewards over the gifts that he's given you? You're not to misrepresent him. You're not to misrepresent yourself. Because, again, to misrepresent yourself, to be dishonest, to not be clean on the inside, begin, we're going back to Psalms 24. Who shall stand in this holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So I got it right on the inside and the outside. I'm doing the right ritual, but also doing it with the right heart. And so now we're in an area and we're in a phase where now we, and again, we started here and the Academy Award goes through, because how many know you can actually hate people and walk up to them and smile. And if you can do that without consequence, without guilt, without the sense to repent, something is wrong and you know you need the Lord's help on the inside. If you can, look at a pastor. If you can, look at a saint of God. If you can, look at somebody that ain't even saved, and you can lie to them and call yourself a Christian. Something is wrong on the inside. And believe you me, it can become that close, because when, how many remember when Abraham and Sarah, they got caught up with Abimelech, and in that process, he goes and he says, tell them when we come to, what did he tell them to tell them? You're my sister. Guess what? He was telling the truth. She was his sister. But the reason and the rationale for him telling that was to get over, to save his life.
That's right.
And in that process, he misrepresents himself. And when God sees misrepresentation, because they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if your character is out of line, and again, character is not only who you are in this service. Their character is not who you are. Once your character is, who are you when you step outside these doors? Because how many know if you got a mean spirit, that's going to come out somewhere. You might keep it under wraps in church. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But all it takes is that wrong salesperson. That slow waitress. That person cutting you off in traffic. That boss getting on your case. And you explode. There's something else going on in the heart. But notice what he says again. A false weight. To misrepresent. Again, it wasn't the weights. It wasn't the scale. It was what that person did with that scale. Do you change and exchange? Because sometimes we do it, don't we? We change a lot of activity to hide the lack on the inside. And all of this time, how many know? God sees your heart. I want y'all to stop talking right now. Now ain't the time to talk. I told y'all I listen to y'all. I want y'all to listen to me, and I'm looking right back at you. Don't do it. Something on the inside of us needs a reworking. And how many know you can't go down to Kaiser?
That's right.
And say, I got hatred and it operate on me and take it out.
That's right. Lord.
You can't go down and say, I got envy in me. Doctor, write me a prescription for that. Because how many know the only person that can solve what's going on the inside is Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God resting and abiding in your life to help you get rid of that. And believe it or not, if you have the Holy Ghost in and around, he don't even have to be in you, but if he's around you, he's going to let you know about yourself. He's going to tell you about yourself. He didn't come for me to sit and discern about you. He came to actually correct me and get me ready for the coming of the Lord. And sometimes it's God, this is something I can't fix. And I want to stand in your holy hand. I want to have clean hands. I don't want to lift up my soul to vanity. I don't want to swear deceitfully. I don't want to become a liar. Because whether you believe it or not, if you're in church and you haven't gotten it together with God, you are acting. And God knows when you're acting. And a false weight is an abomination to him. You're lifting those hands and you're saying glory to God, but you have hate in your heart. You're just like that homosexual. You're saying glory to God. And you just got done partying the night before. You are an abomination. I know I'm messing up here because we've been taught so in this day and age that grace, we can just go out and do what we want to. And we are not even going to stop by that. We're just going to talk about it for a minute. Titus 2 says grace will lead you toward godliness. God gives you grace, not so that you can go out and do like you want or practice and come in church Sunday morning and have a good time. No, grace comes so that you can actually be empowered to have that change on the inside. Because God is, let me tell you something, God is more interested in your heart than he is your activity. And he's looking, you know, there's some things, and I used to have a science class, and there were some things you couldn't see with the naked eye, and you had to put them under a microscope. And when you looked at the microscope, you saw germs and you saw cells and you saw all of these things that you couldn't see with the naked. That's what God's word is. How many know God's word comes to do exactly what it does? It comes to cleanse us. It comes to wash us. It comes to sanctify us. And it isn't just an outward thing. It's something on the inside that God, I need something. I'm in David's spot. Created me a clean heart. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to go through motion. God, I want everything I do to be real. Let's turn to Leviticus, the 22nd chapter. This is the danger of not allowing God to deal with us, and this principle still applies today. Again, where we started at was that although Jesus can touch you, that doesn't mean you can be clean. Although he can love you, God's love extends, but how many know you got to make a decision?
Amen.
You had to make a choice. Amen. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 22. Verse 22. And verse 3. It says, say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generation that goeth unto holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off. And where shall it be cut off from? From my presence. Sin, any sin that you don't cover with the blood, any sin. And again, it's not what you do outward. A lot of times, you know, we talk and we look at the things that happen on the outside. And like I said, some people, I wonder sometimes whether they really repent. Some of them are just sorry they got caught. But godly repentance, godly sorrow leads us to what? The type of repentance that he wants. But I want you to get the gist of what he says, that if you come before my presence and you profane my name before God's people, if you come and you do all of these things, my presence won't be with you. God can't have fellowship with sin.
That's right.
Not even if it's in the Christian. Hear this. God cannot.
Amen.
Here is Jesus hanging on a cross. And at one point, he says, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. Well, y'all know what I'm saying. He says that, and what is that being interpreted? My God, why has you forsaken me? For since all eternity we've been in fellowship, we've been together. But the minute that the weight of sin was placed upon him, God had to separate himself. God has nothing to do with sin. Again, that goes down our list. Let's look at Galatians, the 5th chapter. We won't look at it. We're not turning there, but I want us to read that. And the works of the flesh are, and he goes down a whole list of things, and he gets to hatred and variance and strife and sedition. He gets into all of these things that don't happen on the outside. They manifest on the outside, but they start in the heart. And so you know where I spend most of my time? Praying on this inner man. Because again, we know how to do it in church, don't we? God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you don't even like that person. Glory to God. And just got done talking about that person. Can't you see we need something done on the inside? How many remember? Lord, Pastor Julius, when this time happened, now you talk about acting. I started acting then. I would get sick a little bit at home and maybe a cough or something going on. And my mother would go to the cabinet. And some of y'all know about Scott's emulsion. Some of y'all know about cod liver oil. And the nasty of them all, castor oil. And she knew something was going on the inside. She said, here, I want you to take this. I said, no, Mom, I feel fine. She said, no, you need to take this. And whatever was going on the inside of me, it worked out. Anything that didn't need to be on the inside, it found his way out. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we say, God, I'm sick. My soul needs some regulating here, God. I need an adjustment in my spirit because there's some things in me. There's an attitude. There's a mindset. Lord, I may not say it with my mouth, but sometimes I'm cussing in my mind. God, I'm full of hate. I'm envy, strife. I'm in the middle of all this stuff. And again, that's not God's dealing with you. How many know the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to show you these things. But how many know, again, he can try to wash you. He can put you in settings like this in the church where the word is going forth and it's doing its cleansing job. But how many know at the end of the day, you got to accept that word for an inward change. Sometimes our biggest fault is that we sit and we look at other people and say, I'm not so bad after all. I'm not like other men. And we become that Pharisee standing before God with that publican. And so we do the worst thing possible. We judge ourselves by everybody else around us. Instead of saying, God, what is your standard? Because I recognize that I'm in this place where you invite us not to be. If I carry on the way and I keep on persisting the way, that you're going to take your presence. Wasn't that one of David's prayer there again in that repentance? Don't take your spirit away from me. Don't do it. Lord, where can I go, Lord? I need your spirit, God. I know what it's been like. And the only reason I'm in this place right now that your spirit isn't with me is because I'm messing up, and I've messed up because I followed my own will. So I need some direction here, God. You gotta touch me, Lord. You're the only one that can operate. You're the only one that can make a change of heart. You're the only one that can come in and cleanse me the right way. Thank God for my pastor. Thank God for my bishop. But God, I need an operation by you on today, God. I need you to touch me. Because this is not about my body. This is about my soul. Let me spend a little time, and I'm believe it or not, I'm coming to close here shortly. 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter.
Pastor.
2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. How many remember the story of Hezekiah? Hezekiah did some wonderful things. He came in, he cleansed the temple, he started destroying the idols, he started doing some cleanup, and he was, what, the 12th or 13th king of Judah. And they had saw what had happened to Israel and through their sin. But he comes, and in the process, and again, I'm going to say this, and again, I'm talking to us leaders first of all, and first and foremost of all. He comes, and I want to look at verse 34 in the 29th chapter, and then we're going to jump to chapter 30. But the priests were too few, so that they could not play all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. Look what it says, the other priests had sanctified themselves. I mean, as leadership, we should be the first in line to ask the Lord to sanctify our lives.
That's right.
And we're going to see a process here that takes place. Because let me tell you something. If you refuse to sanctify yourself, God ain't so in love with you that he won't move on and find somebody else. I could be standing here, and God forbid the grace of God that I turn my back on him. Guess what? Things won't go down. Because God will raise someone else up. So you can't get fooled that you all that and a bag of chips. You must remain humble before the presence of the Lord. When God begins to elevate you, how many know the higher, there's an old saying, the higher you get up, the harder to fall. He looks to wipe out leadership. He looks for us to misrepresent ourselves. He looks for us to sometimes lead where we don't even want to go. For the Levites were more, and let's read that again, until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright, where? In heart, to sanctify themselves than the priest. 2 Chronicles, same chapter, same situation. They're still cleaning up, and they're getting things together. In verse 15. They reinstall the Passover, and this is what it says. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and this was actually not the time they were supposed to be doing it, but they had gotten so far away from God's word. The day of observation was missed. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves. Lord, we've missed you. Lord, we haven't been in the place that you wanted us to be in. Lord, we haven't done the thing that you wanted to do. How many know if you're not in the place as a leader, you ought to be ashamed? Oh, I would expect some of our leaders to agree with me. Don't look down at your seat. Don't start. No, let's not take notes. Now, listen to me. If anybody want to walk sanctified before the people, it starts with the leader. It starts with us. If you're a deacon, if you're an elder, if you wear a title, if you wear any kind of leadership, if you're up teaching, if you're doing anything, guess what? You should be first in line to say, God, sanctify. And if you're not in that place, you ought to be ashamed. I'm feeling the pushback. Oh, why are you talking about the leaders like that? Coach, hey, if we're going to say we lead, we got to take the brunt of the responsibility. We can't leave folks where we ain't going. If anybody ought to show a sanctified life, and this is why I stay before the presence of the Lord saying, God, work, keep working on the inside. God, keep working on my heart. Keep working on my spirit, because I don't want to misrepresent you. Because that will bring shame to you. And they sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place. In their place after the manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, the priest sprinkled the blood which was they received of the hand of the Levites. Verse 17, for there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for every one of them that was not what? Clean. To sanctify them also. This is, again, our bishop tells us, this is why you need the man of God. Because some of y'all come in here and y'all try to exist in here dirty. Like I said, you come in here and party on Saturday, and you want to come in here on Sunday, and just because you look at the pastor and he looks and says, how you doing? God bless you. Or sometimes, like our bishop says, sometimes you say, how you doing? Because you can't bless sin. And so we walk around, and just because we get that handshake and that attaboy, and sometimes we think because we all right or we look like we got together, and again, we're at that place where Jesus washed all of their feet. But everyone wasn't clean. Because clean is a self thing. Clean is something that says, God, I'm giving you myself. Because how many know you got to allow the Lord to clean you? So you got to open up your heart. And some of us, I've said this in the past, there's some things that we hang on to, don't we? There's some things that they're part of our personality and our makeup, and we hang on. Some of us, let me give you one example. Some of us hang an abrasive tone that we talk to people to keep people off our back. I dealt with a situation last week. I said, such, why I can't, and no, I don't want to be bothered them, and such, why don't you want to bother them? They're a saint. They love God. If they bite your head off, come and let me know so I can talk to them, because that's unchristlike, especially from a leader. There are times that, again, that example should exude from us, and that's why we don't want to even in this place, again, it starts from the top, but notice also it flows to the body, that even once the priests got it together and they got themselves together, then they had to go to the artists, and some of them still weren't ready to sanctify themselves and become clean. And because of that, the priests or the Levites had to come in and be intercessors. God, don't kill them yet. God, still allow them in your presence. God, sanctify them, God. God, wash them. God, do a new thing in the spirit. God, don't let them be lost. See, hanging around the church ain't enough. Going through the rituals and the routine, the ritual won't save you. That proved it with Jesus when he washed their feet. That ritual didn't save them. What saved them was a change of heart. On the inside. Let's turn to Psalms 51. We referred to it, but I want to read some verses there, and then, like I say, we're coming to our close. And you know this Psalms. This is Psalms David at sin with Bathsheba. And if you know the story, Nathan the prophet comes to him, and he says, David, what do you think about a man that has one ewe lamb and the other one have plenty of sheep? And he comes and takes the one ewe lamb. David was indignant. How dare! He didn't make the connection. He ain't preaching to me. Sister so-and-so ought to be here to hear this. He ain't saying nothing to me. He was indignant. That man ought to. Then he started naming it. And he went beyond the law, because the law didn't even say do that to the man. It's amazing how sometimes we want to see people suffering a punishment that we actually deserve. Get them, God. Get them, God. Get happy about it. You need to change your heart. Because if you have the right heart, guess what you say? God, your mercy, God. Have mercy on them, God. Give your grace to them. Save them, Lord. Lord, don't let them be lost. When I look at audience, and sometimes I see our young people, sometimes they become kind of disengaged and they start hanging loose because they feel a little grown now. And in my prayers, I say, God, keep them, Lord. Because I was a young fool like they were a young fool. But God, thank you for your grace. I'm standing where I am because somebody else prayed for me. Somebody called my name in the prayer meeting. Some Holy Ghost filled mother, some Holy Ghost filled saint, led by God, spoke to me. And that changed my heart. Psalms 51. And I'm getting there. And again, David is sinning, and so Nathan kindly draws him around and he says, David, I'm talking about you. Thing about David, though, he had a repentant heart. When the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, that didn't mean he acted like God. But he was sensitive to the voice of God. And so every time he heard the voice of God, he recognized his sin and he immediately ran to God to repent. He didn't stand in pride. He didn't stand arrogant. He said, God, is it me? It's me. Have mercy on me, Lord. But let's read some verses here that he says, and we're going to kind of jump around. Verse 2 again, Psalm 51. It says, wash me how? Thoroughly, inside and out, Lord, from my iniquity. And do what? I need a washing, God. I need you to touch me on the inside. Let's jump down to verse 6. And this is God's desire, and David recognizes it. Behold, thou desirest truth where? I don't care how you're acting on the outside. He knows who you are on the inside. You ain't hiding nothing from God. And sometimes the preacher knows, because when we're preaching and the word hits you, you be hollering, yeah, amen, hallelujah. And when we hit you, you go, say amen then. Because every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. If it hits you, if you can't say amen, say, ouch, God, forgive me. He got me. There have been plenty of times our bishop has been standing right here. I've been standing, sitting right here in this seat. And I'm looking, I'm going, oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, God. Your word is still real, God. I can't deny your word. Help me, Jesus. He's telling me the truth. I can't back down from that. I can't turn away from that. Your word is true. So instead of me standing here waving my hands, God help me. Renewing me a right heart. Give me that right spirit. How many remember what it was like when you first got saved? Like it was cloudy this morning, you walk out in a cloudy day and it still looked like the sun was shining, didn't it? You walking down and you saw a bug, you step around the bug so you wouldn't kill the bug. Now you step on anybody that gets in your way. Something done happened on the inside. Verse 6 again. Says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part shall thou make me to know wisdom. Now, jump down to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. What took me away from your presence? Was sin. And since I know you can't fellowship with sin, then I got to get back in your presence. And if I maintain myself in the place, you know, there's a scripture our bishop uses often, Romans 1, that because they sought not to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. And you, one thing you don't want to ever happen, for God to give you over to your spirit. There's no coming back. You are reprobate. You will be eternally lost. So David says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit. How many know you need the Holy Ghost? Verse 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Sometimes what we call sacrifice ain't really sacrifice. At least they had to cut limbs and carry animals and do all that. We just got to show up to church and sit on a cushioned pew. And we call that sacrifice. Yeah. But what was he talking about? Your religious duties, that's not so much what I'm interested in. Your religious activities, that's not what I'm interested in. Or else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Pay attention to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Where's your spirit? On the inside. God, I sinned against you because I was proud. God, I sinned against you because I carry this and I refuse to do the right thing in my heart. I let it go. I held on to it. I treasured it. I kept that like it was a little baby. Yeah. I know you've been dealing with me about getting rid of it, doing something about it, having a change of direction. But God, can I please hold on to this? It's just like Lot leaving the garage. He says, I'm tired now. Can I go over here to this little stop on the side? I don't want to go where you told me to go, Lord. I want to just... And God had enough grace with him in Zophar to say, okay, I'm going to go take you to the little spot, but that ain't where I want you to be. See, some of us just want to get far enough to get away from the heat. Get away from the trial. Get away from what we deal with. Again, some of us, again, are just sorry we got caught. We ain't godly sorry. But hear this man's prayer. The sacrifice of God are a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou will not despise. Guess what's the other opposite of abomination, something that God detests? It's something that God won't despise. Is my heart broken? How many know sometimes we have things, and as you age, you begin to experience this more. We have pains and stuff we don't know anything about. We figure it out, and our mind goes all over the board. We take guesses at what's wrong. But how many know you need to go to a doctor sometimes and get x-rays and sonograms and CT scans and all these kind of things so they can point directly at what's the problem. Guess what is your spiritual CT scan? He tells you what's wrong. He tells you what's going on. Now, if you want to go on and keep self-diagnosing and self-treating, has that ever really worked? Some of us will listen to a earthly doctor in every detail, and we won't listen to a God-sent preacher. We'll listen to somebody that deals with our physical body, which we know, I don't care how saved you are, it's decaying day by day. If you, some of us that were 25 and you now, you know you don't feel the same as you did at 25. You've been saved all those years, but that don't stop the change from coming. That's why we're looking forward to our glorified body. So we need an expert to come in and say, this is your problem, this is what you take, and this is your solution. And we'll go and say, oh, I got to take these pills 9 times a day with water, and I got to make sure I eat somewhere so I can't fast. We do everything that man tells us to do. If he get up there and tells us, I want you to jump back 3 times every day, we... And the preacher says, lift your hands and ask God to forgive you. And we sit there in our stubbornness. We sit there, we know we need a change of heart. We know he's given us the prescription. He's given us the medication. And not only is it involving our body as it can, it's involving our eternal soul that is going to be with the Lord forever and ever. And we won't take the time, the concern. God, I don't just want you to come and wash my feet. I don't want you to come because, and the second word that he uses there, it has to do with, again, a ritual ceremonial cleaning. Guess what the ritual that took place to cleanse us was? When Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. That doesn't need to be repeated again. The lesson was that every day as you walk with Christ, your feet may get a little dirty, but know who to come to wash them. Know you where you get. This is why this sign is behind them. Don't you forsake the assembling of yourself together. Don't you start coming to church. I talk to people all the time. I just talked to someone a couple weeks ago. I'm going to come when I get myself together and I get this again. And I looked there. I told her, I said, you can't get yourself together. You got to allow the Lord to get. And it starts with you being in the house of God among the saints, being in his presence. Reminding one another that the day is approaching, that soon Jesus is coming. And if you can't see, I said on Friday, if you can't see Jesus is coming, you are truly blind. Because there are people that are not saved that are going, something is going on here. Jeremiah, 24th chapter. Y'all do your favor. Y'all do something for me. Clap your hands for the Lord. Like I say, some of y'all expect me to listen to you. And the minute I take a text, you start going to sleep. You better pay attention. Our bishop quote that all the time, a little phone in the hands. What follows that poverty? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling in the hand. Your poverty comes. So let's pay attention. Jeremiah 24th chapter, verse 7. It says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Now, when we talk about the heart, and we're not going to turn there, when we talk about the heart, Jesus has a lot to say about the heart, doesn't he? He says, Matthew 23rd chapter, and it's a scathing review. He tells the Pharisees, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside. Notice his instructions. First cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. How many know if you get the inside together, the outside's going to take care of itself? We start the other way, don't we? Oh, they in here, they say, now let's get a collar up to here, let's get him down to there, let's get the sleeves down there, make sure you dress this. And we get into all of that, and you just as big a devil as they are. You gossip more than they do. With all that on. So who really needs to change your heart? Notice what he says again. First cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish. This is Matthew 23. That the outside may be clean. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. The people that he talked to the most were people that were church going, law keepers. that knew the word. Too often I look at our audience much like I'm looking at an audience. And people that have been, you know, there's a thing, Sister Lindell and Brother Danny know what I'm talking about, this thing in teaching called tenure. And I had a tenured professor. He taught economics. Half the class went to sleep, number one, when he got up to teach. And all he talked about, he couldn't wait to retire, man. Instead of teaching us what we need to know. And he talked in a monotone. He wasn't worried about his job because tenure says you ain't going to get fired. No matter how bad you do your job. How many know there's no tenure in the kingdom of God? You don't earn a certain prestige. There's something I notice every now and then that when we say prayer, and I talk to our pastors about this, say, we want the people to see us praying, not telling them to pray. And then we're back there in the office kind of messing around, and then we come on in. And then we, y'all done prayed and sweated and did all that. And we could come in because we ain't prayed. Come on, say yeah with me. Say yeah. No, you trying to get your own prayer going. I'm going to come in here and pray with y'all. Get a sense of the direction that the Spirit wants to move. See, we can, again, teach all these elements, and pretty soon you find yourself, because you have tenure, you don't have to pray like everybody else. You don't have to do things that other folks do. Just simply order people around, tell them what to do. You need a heart change. God, touch my heart. Do something in my spirit and my will. Let's go back, and I want us to, again, we're winding down, and we're there. I want us to turn to Revelations, the second chapter. Remember, God says, I will give you that new heart. I will do this. How many know God is the only one that can do that? Revelations, the second chapter. And this is a message to the church at Ephesus. We don't have time to go through that, but we're going to read one verse. And there's two words I want to bring out that he says. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember. Think back. Think about when God saved you, what you were like. And what you are like now. Are you the same person? Remember when God saved you and he came in and he washed you clean? I mean, the enemy doesn't care enough. He doesn't care so much about you that. I mean, you know, Jesus put it this way. He says, when the house has come and he swept clean and the devil's moved out the way. That same spirit walks through dry places. Then he remembers where he's going to came, and he says, I wasn't strong enough to keep him by myself, so I need more wicked spirits to come with and make sure we get a hold of him this time. You got to remember, God, that ain't who I used to be. God, I don't. When you first saved me, I loved to pray. God, when you first saved me, I loved the fellowship with the saints. When you first saved me, I couldn't imagine myself hating anybody. When people said bad things about me, I just smiled and forgave them. Now I find myself, I got to say something back. Let's be confused. Let's talk about the pastor for a minute. And y'all heard this story before, but it's worth sharing again. Here I am in a store, and a lady reaches across me and stands in front of me. While I'm looking at something, and I look and say, this is America. And so she took a step back, so I stepped between her so she couldn't get around me again. Was that Christ-like? No. He doesn't allow you to exercise those moments of emotion and flesh and our frustration. He deals with you on how to act like a saint, how to speak like a saint, how to have a spirit of a saint. And that was one of those moments you had to lift your hand and say, God, I shouldn't have done that. Help me on the inside. There was something off in me. There's nothing off in your word. You told me to love my enemies. You told me to bless them that even persecute me. And I'm getting mad because someone stepped in front of me. Help me, Jesus. Because what was in the heart manifested itself in my actions. The pastor. Is that church? I can't even feel my hands and how many, this hand up, and all the times that I've missed church in the last, since the pandemic started. The one that's always in church, but again, going through the ritual is not enough. God, I need a cleansing on the inside so that my heart is pure. So again, it says, remember from when thus thou art fallen. Remember how some of you used to dance and shout and wave. Now we ask y'all to lift your hand. And some of y'all have the nerve after all God has done for you. After all God has blessed you with, to stand there with your hands across the seat like this. And just look. What an affront. What an abomination. To God's glory. To God's presence. What in the way we are to experience now that we allow that, and we know the story of Uzzah, that they were carrying the ark on the ox cord, and they weren't supposed to be doing that way. And he, in his interest, looking to protect the ark from falling, went out to touch, and God's presence was so much in that ark that it killed him. And now we're in this place of grace, this place of grace where the Holy Ghost can fill us and fill our lives. And we can come boldly before his presence. And sometimes we want to come boldly with all our mess and garbage to give it to him. With a foul spirit and a messed up spirit and a messed up heart. He desires truth in the inward parts. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. A person that hasn't lifted up their soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. That's the man that's going to stand in his holy hill. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And then we got two more scriptures. Let's read this real quick.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have a... just a couple words before you cut it off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Because I want the people to understand that if you don't sanctify yourself, God can't sanctify you wholly. And the way you sanctify yourself, see, if you don't love, don't like anybody in this room, Jesus gave us a perfect example in washing the feet of his enemy. Knew he was going to betray him. That's how love is seen and shown in our hearts. Love doesn't work through the flesh. Love works in a person's spirit. Whatever's in your heart, in your spirit, will end up in your heart. Whatever it is, if you don't like someone, you'll be hating them pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You come sit and listen to the word like this, but this is really, really true. Mm-hmm. See, the spirit of your life is what you have to watch all the time about yourself. Pastor's been telling us that all day. Because your spirit, you can get mad at people, get mad at folks because they ain't driving right. And almost like cussing them out. That's in your spirit. He told you to follow peace with all men. Mm-hmm. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. See, if you don't sanctify yourself, God cannot sanctify you wholly. The Holy Ghost ain't going to sanctify you wholly if you don't sanctify yourself. Well, you have to do that to start disciplining yourself, as Pastor has been preaching all day. Discipline yourself. Because you should never scream out at nobody. Love don't scream out. No, it doesn't. No, love is kindness. He told us to be kind one to another. It's kindness, that's what it is. And so that's why I wanted to bring this out as a point, Pastor.
Yes.
That love is what you have to show forth in your spirit. I'm telling you from experience, I know what I'm talking about. You can't blame the next person for being wrong if you got the wrong spirit. Mm-hmm. I almost told them off. You got the wrong spirit. God ain't going to sanctify you wholly until you learn how to shut your mouth. That's what he did for Sarah. Down in Egypt, remember right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Her husband sitting up there lying, making a lie is the way he was telling it. But she didn't say nothing, did she? And God said she was an example of a sanctified woman. Study your Bible.
Praise God.
That's what you need to do. But I want to leave this in you. Your spirit governs what go in your heart.
Praise God. Yes,
that's
sir.
How God look at your heart. If I get mad at anyone in here and I don't straighten it out, I'm not straight with God.
Yes, sir.
I have to straighten it out here. He told us to go to one another.
Hello.
Straighten it out. Be kind-hearted one to another. Follow peace with one another.
Hello.
That's how you fulfill the scripture. Like I told you all about, I didn't like a white man. Guess where I heard the word from? Because the Lord truly saved me.
Yeah.
I didn't hate him or no other white person no more. You know why? God taught me he was the true judge. I couldn't judge him.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't be just in my judgment.
There you go.
I judge between black and white.
Everyone wake up and pay attention.
But he don't judge us through colors. He just told us he judged us through our heart.
Yeah.
And your spirit, don't ever forget this. You're no more deep in your spirit. Your attitude toward one another. That shows God that you respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus showed that.
Praise God.
To the man he knew was going to betray him.
Praise
God. Showed him love, didn't he?
Praise God.
Washed his feet, didn't he?
Hello.
I'm not going to touch him. That's the way Jesus felt.
Praise God.
Love is the life of Christ.
Praise
not the mouth of Christ.
Praise
the
God.
Life of Christ. When you learn to love is a process. Sometimes God sends people in our lives to process us. See where we are. So he said, love your enemy.
Amen.
Do good to your enemy. That's what he said. I believe what he said.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all know you ain't got to live by the law if you fulfill love? Love fulfills the law.
Praise
God. You ain't got to feel guilty one night you go to sleep if love is in your heart. But if love ain't in your heart, you can hardly sleep. Love is who God is. Don't forget that the rest of your life.
Praise Him.
He's love. And you can only know him through love.
Praise him.
Only.
Yes.
It's important that you thank God every day for filling you with love. Because he might call some people to call you that ain't got no understanding, don't like you at all. Mm-hmm. But you're to love them. You're a believer. He told you to do that.
Hello.
People think the Lord going to come down here and he going to save his sanctuary. No, he ain't. He told you to sanctify yourself. Then the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. How are you going to sanctify you and you got a mean spirit? You got an evil attitude. You can't do it. I tell people all the time, Pastor, It's the church folk that made me like who I am. To love, forgive, all of that. The church folk. But who was Jesus' greatest enemy? The church folks. They made him who he was. That's what's making us who we are. So if you had a bad spirit and fall out and get mad and talk to people and send me all drive and just be almost cussing people, then the Lord gonna help you. No, he ain't gonna help you till you stop that can on. See, you gotta sanctify yourself first. Then he sanctify you holy. Oh, he see how real you are when you sanctify yourself. Amen. You've been around this church any time. Y'all know God has sanctified me a long way. Because I used to tear you off. Now I leave that to the man of God that's in the pulpit.
Right, sir.
Because if you don't hear him, that's the reason I love God.
Right, sir.
Because if you don't hear that man in the pulpit, be like Elijah told that man in hell, they got the prophets out there.
Right,
if they don't hear the prophets, they don't hear one from the dead.
Right,
and that's the greatest message, Pastor, this morning.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's Jesus is Lord. Ain't nobody's Lord but him.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. Amen. It's good. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Love, love, and the importance of love. How many know you can't love on the inside without the Holy Ghost? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 is going to lead us right where we need to go. Amen. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Y'all heard me say this word plenty of times, right? This conversation doesn't mean talk, right? Anastrophe means the way that you live, the way that you conduct yourself. Put off the old man the way that the old man would conduct himself. Where you bless people out. You know, even as a pastor, I experienced this where people come at me and they raise their voices and or they bark or they use what they think is intimidation. And sometimes I have to say, I have to pray for them so they don't know who they're addressing in the manner that they should address people. You can have gray hair and still be a fool. The Bible still says a soft answer turns away wrath. You got to watch how you talk to a person. You know, I've given people instruction. As I'm giving instruction, they say, I know that already. Well, if you know that already, why are you here? Well, why not just let you fix it yourself? We easily hand out advice sometimes that we don't even want to follow. But people, how many know people watch more how you act than what you ever say? And how many know with gray hair ought to come a little wisdom? With gray hair ought to come a little bit of an example of how you are to entreat the saints and to treat others. And the manner that you're supposed to handle people. And so, again, all of these habits and things that we've allowed to exist in our life that we refuse to get. But notice what he says. He doesn't say, I will put them off. He says what? You put them off. I just quoted scripture, sanctify yourselves, and the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You've got to start making some steps. If I'm preaching something to you today and you recognize something is going on with you on the inside, and again, you can be the nicest, smilest person and have a root of bitterness off on the inside of you. There's somebody in your life that you have animosity toward. You forgive everybody else. You'll say nice things about everybody, but you better not say that person's name. You don't know what I know. Says, but notice what he says, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. The Bible says that when we talk about the image of God, that doesn't mean God looks like a man. What is the character and the nature? We said something earlier. We said something about the name and the Archie name. Impregnated in that is the name Archie. It wasn't just the name and the letters written down that it represent. It's the character. And how many know we represent the name of Jesus Christ? We represent his character. We represent his nature. We represent everything that he stands for. Bless you, Ben. Bless you, Bessie. Amen. We represent, and we are to represent him wherever we go. We shouldn't act like the average person. We shouldn't respond like the average person. We had a lot, and someone pulls in a slot that we've been waiting on. You shouldn't be walking, hey, that was my parking place. What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? How does that sound? And then you flip the script and you turn around and say, I go to Moments of Blessing. Would you please come to church with me? How does that work for you? Think before you speak. I'm representing Christ. There's certain activities and ideals and things that I do. I'm supposed to get rid of those things. And God, with your help, I'll get rid of them. And I want to put on the new man because I want to represent your image. I want to look like you're supposed to look and like you want me to look and act like you want me to act. And remember what God said. I will put that heart in you. But you got to allow him to. God, I need an operation here. I got to go soon. It's very subtle right now, but I got a little tooth issue going on with me right now. And every now and then, I feel a dull pain. And I keep saying, I got to set up that appointment. Lord, I got to get to it. I got to do something about it. Let me let it keep going. That cavity gets bigger. It gets closer to the root. And pretty soon now I can't sleep at night. And where something that could have been fixed and covered up and solved, now he has to go down. And you should have saw my eyes, Sister Lindell, when he looked at me and once said, this one's too bad. It's going to have to come out. And I went, what? I hadn't had an extraction. And he says, this is so bad, I can't take it out. I'm going to have to send you to a specialist because you got some deep roots. And he's going to have to dig deep to take those roots out. Thank God he was a specialist because when he got done, he says, I'm all done. And when he got all done, I went like, you finished already? He knew what he was doing. How many know God is a specialist at what he does? When you need the help that you need, when you need that operation, how many know there's an old song that says, God specializes and he can do what no other power can do. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He will make you whole. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar verse, and we got this and one more verse. And some of y'all, I don't understand it. Some of y'all with the choir singing, y'all be, even some of the choir members. As soon as we read a scripture, Lord have mercy, help us. God's word is my first love above any song, above any activity. Because at the end, that's what's going to cleanse me and wash me. Amen. 2 Corinthians, again, very familiar verse, 5:17. And y'all could probably quote it, can't you? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And other translations say creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's turn back to First Corinthians, the sixth chapter. And Paul is addressing the church that if they existed in this church, they look like the average church does today. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" There's all kinds of ways we can be unrighteous. There's all kinds of ways that we can cross lines. You can be in the house of God and be unrighteous. You can be in the house of God and be wicked. You can be in the house of God and be a hypocrite. You can be in the house of God and be a tare. You look like wheat, but you ain't wheat. But how many know God is looking for genuineness? He's looking for sincerity and a person of gravity and a person of character. And when we spot these shortcomings in our life, we come before God and we say, "God, wash me and cleanse me. Continue to work on me. I want to be the character. I want to have the conversation or the lifestyle that you want me to have. I want to look like you, because my duty is not to be the light, and thank God it's not to be the light. It's to be a lamp that the light shines through. And God, I want you to fill me. So I got to clean up my life so that light can shine, so that men see my good works and give glory to my Father which is in heaven. That's my job. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters." Fornicators, how many know, although he may be talking naturally, how many know you can be a spiritual fornicator? "Nor idolaters, nor adulterers," how many know you can be a spiritual adulterer? "Nor effeminate," I'm sorry, if you practice homosexuality, the word of God says you don't belong to them. That's unrighteousness. "Nor abusers themselves with mankind." I won't get into details of that, but that's effeminate is the soft side, and the other side is the down low brother. He look and walk and act like a man, but he has other things on his agenda in mind. "Nor thieves," how many know you can rob him in tithes and offering? "Nor covetous," oh Lord, we getting in trouble. "Nor drunkards, nor revelers," people that like to party and have good times, but yet come to church and fall asleep. "Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But I love this next verse. I see some of this going on. I see some of y'all practicing this. But if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. And now you have a power, according to Romans 6, that will keep you, that will sustain you, that you have righteousness that you can serve. And sin can no longer exercise the same dominion over you that it used to, because now you're blood bought, you're saved, you're sanctified. And how many know sometimes we kind of forget who we are? Remember, it says, "Remember from where thou art fallen and repent." And sometimes when we find ourselves, we go back, reflect, say, "That ain't who I'm supposed to be." How many have been there with me? That ain't the way I'm supposed to talk. That ain't the way I'm supposed to carry on. I'm not supposed to get mad like other people. I'm not supposed to lose control like other people. I'm supposed to represent Christ everywhere I go, not inside these four walls. Everywhere I go, I'm supposed to represent Christ. And so you find yourself losing your way, and now we get to this moment that Paul talks to him, and it's in verse 11, and he says, "And such were some of you, but let me remind you of who you are right now. You are washed." Look at somebody and tell them you're washed. Now, if you ain't washed, don't say that. You're sanctified. Ye are justified. Oh, I love that word. I love that word. I love that word. I love that word. I love that word, justified. That was a legal transaction that took place. I was guilty. I deserved the penalty. I had everything coming. But because of Jesus taking my place, he was the judge that was standing up there saying, "I could pronounce sentence on you, but guess what? I'm going to take off this robe. I'm going to come out the judge's stand, and I'm going to take your place. I'm going to take the penalty that you deserve." Such were some of you. But you ain't supposed to be that anymore. You're supposed to have those clean hands and a pure heart. Someone who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the person that will receive of the Lord. Jesus is coming too soon. Time is winding up a whole lot faster than some of you are heeding and giving attention. We hear it in the message. We hear it in the prayers. There are things that are in place and in order and setting up that are not going to be set up. They're already in place. I was listening to another, just a brief snippet of a preacher, and it just reminded me, and women that have given birth, you understand this analogy, that I remember Sister Lynette, when it was, came time for birth, every now and then you feel a little kick. Every now and then the baby would move. But when it started getting time for birth, those labor pains got closer and closer, didn't they? And in a lot of cases, now again, I'm not a witness, obviously, but I've observed the process, the pain intensified. Some things that we're looking at taking place in the world right now, we've seen them before, but guess what? You noticing that they're happening more closer together? That storm that they were talking about in Southern California, they said nothing has happened like that since 1939. Guess what? It may be next year where we're seeing the same thing. Things are going to get heavier and more intense. And versus staying in this state where I don't want to cleanse my heart and get myself together, and I'm going to keep pretending like the world's going to work out. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. This is a real world that we're facing. And it's time to get it right with Jesus. If you're a partier on Saturday, I'm sorry, and you come here on Sunday, you're a reveler on Saturday, and you come here and try to pronounce his name, profess his name, the Bible, according to Paul, says you're not going to make it. Let me remind you who you are. You're saved and sanctified now. You're required to walk to a higher calling. And we say it so often, it's not time to get ready. It's time to be ready. I don't want to be lost. Everyone stand on your feet. I want to do something, and then we're going to, and I want to ask all our church leadership to come up here. Amen. All our church leadership. All our church leadership. If you're an elder, if you're a teacher, if you're a department leader, if you're all our church leaders, you're in some place where you've given charge and authority. Amen. Praise God. I want you to come because it starts with us, and we want God to bless us and touch our hearts and touch our minds. And I feel led to do this today. Amen. Amen. That's it. Every leader, you're in charge of something. You're going to be teaching. You're going to be standing before God's people. Amen. In some capacity. I read it earlier where Hezekiah, the people had to go forth and the Levites had to take their place because they were unprepared to do their job. And I hope sometimes we don't find our place in this place where we feel so comfortable that we allow ourselves to become in this relaxed state that we don't have to live a life that is worthy of example before the congregation. We above everybody else, everybody standing here. God placed you where he placed you. And so if anybody's spirit and anybody's heart ought to be serious about aligning itself with God, it starts with us. And how many would agree with me? Amen? Amen. It starts with us. And let me say this to the audience, because sometimes we point ourselves and we look at the leaders and we have our commentary and our ideals and our opinions, if you will, about the leadership, and you better be cautious who you put your mouth on. One of the things that we need to learn how to do as congregants is to pray for those that are in the leadership, that God strengthen and restore them. You know, I told someone, they were talking to me one time about a leader here, and I was saying, you know, you got to give them some room to grow. Y'all had to give me room to grow as a pastor, didn't you? And you're still giving me space, right? And sometimes if you're judging in the spirit, sometimes you ain't judging in the spirit. Sometimes you don't see and you don't think I do everything right. I don't need criticism. I need prayer, right? Amen. And likewise with all these leaders here, we need your prayer. We need your sincere prayer. And I want to pray with our leaders, start with our leadership, that this word that we heard today grab a hold of our heart. That we see a change in our mindset, our direction. God didn't make us to be lords over God's people. He made us, and that was Jesus' point, wasn't it? To serve the people. To roll up your sleeves and go to work on behalf of the people. And that may mean sometime when everybody else ain't showing up, you still got to carry the load. That may mean everybody ain't going to cooperate with you. Just like I hear excuses all the time, guess what you're going to start hearing? Excuses. And you got to still love and you still got to do it the right way. And we need God's help for that, don't we? Pastor Jeff needs God's help for that. Amen. Amen. I want us again. Y'all pray for us leaders. I'm going to pray for y'all. But I felt led to just do this on today. Amen. Let's lift our hands, leaders. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this word that we heard on today. And always my prayer is that it be planted in good ground, that it finds its seed in good ground, that it manifests itself among us, Lord, that has we begin to grow in knowledge and the wisdom of your word, God. And we ask that right now for your wisdom. We ask it for your, Lord, direction in all that we go to do and that we put our hands to, Lord, that we stand in the place that you would have us stand, God, that we walk with the character as a leader, as a person placed in responsibility in the house of God, that we walk in the authority also, but also, Lord, walk in the spirit, in the manner of spirit that you'd have us walk in. Lord, let us be, first of all, self-reflecting so that we look at the word and measure our lives, and not according to how we feel, but measure our hearts according to what your word says. Your word says we're not to be abusive. We're not, but we're to be kind. We're being to be loving. We're to be those ones, Lord, that are examples, Lord, not only in word, but also in deed, God. And God, I thank you for guiding us as the leadership of this church. God, that we speak the same thing, that we say the same thing, that we act together in unity, that we act responsible and with the character according to our offices. You told us how a bishop's supposed to be. You told us how a minister's supposed to be. You told us how a mother's supposed to be. You told us how deacons are supposed to be. There's no confusion, God. Let your will be perfected in our life concerning the job and the direction that you have for us as a ministry, God. Because we do want to bring glory to your name. We want to be a blessing to the world. We don't want us to be on this corner and just say we existed. But God, we want to touch the world for you as never before. Because the day is growing darker and dimmer, Lord. And Lord, we need to throw out the lifeline because someone is drifting away. And God, I thank you for giving these leaders the wisdom. I thank you for giving us the wisdom. I thank you for giving us the wisdom and the knowledge how to operate in the capacity that you would have us to walk, God. That you be glorified in this congregation, in this body. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.